بركاتي تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات.
قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي. قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. To all our brothers and sisters out there, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, where we discuss the Quran with our dear and beloved brother Habib. Assalamu alaikum, brother Habib. Thank you for coming to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
So we're on chapter 19. We've covered verse 51. Let's listen to verse 51 to 53 of this chapter, and we'll be back for a quick discussion. Don't go away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
واذكر في كتاب موسى إنه كان مخلصا وكان رسولا نبيا.
And mention in the book Moses, indeed he was chosen, and he was a messenger and a prophet.
وَنَادَيْنَاهُ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ الْأَيْمَنِ وَقَرَّبْنَاهُ نَجِيًّا.
And we called him from the side of the mount at his right and brought him near, confiding to him.
وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ مِنْ رَحْمَتِنَا أَخَاهُ هَارُونَ نَبِيًّا.
And we gave him out of our mercy his brother Aaron as a prophet.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. You just listened to verse 51 to 53 of chapter 19 of the Quran. On the last show, we talked about the difference between messenger and prophet, Rasul and Nabi. Or I said the other way around, actually. Rasul is a prophet.
Is a messenger.
Rasul is a messenger, and the prophet is a Nabi.
Look, you're Arab, right? So messenger, Rasul, Murasala, like you message.
Delivers something.
Yeah, delivers something. Yeah. For Rasul, messenger, then prophet, Nabi.
Nabi. And we'll talk about the distinction between these two. Can you give us a very quick recap about the distinction between these two, about the differences?
Yeah, we stated two, actually. There are like five or six. Only stated two, the important two for as I see them. The first one, like I was stated, Sheikh Al-Kulaini states in Al-Kafi, the sayings, that the Prophet, Al-Nabi, he hears and sees in his dream the divine revelation, and while awake, he only hears, cannot see. While the Messenger, our Rasul, sees in his dream, hears in his dream, hears and sees also while awake the divine message.
So that's one difference.
That's one difference. The second difference, which is pretty much the most famous between the interpreters at this time, and it is that the prophet goes and spreads the word and sends the message and looks for people, right?
He has a duty to propagate the religion.
Yes. As for the Nabi, no, he has divine knowledge, he has that divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has that connection with Allah, yet he is not ordered. But if someone comes and asks, then...
So the messenger has to go himself. He has a duty to go on and spread the message.
Yeah.
But the prophet, other people come to him.
To him.
So how can Moses be both a prophet and a messenger at the same time?
Every Rasul is a prophet.
Every messenger
Every
is also
messenger
a prophet.
Every messenger is a prophet.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the last episode, I talked about bringing in something to compare the prophet, the difference between the prophet and the messenger. And that was the difference between a doctor that stays in his office and doesn't go anywhere. Yet if people come, he has that knowledge of, he's able to treat people. And if people come, he treats them, right? And he could treat himself. That's like the prophet. Then you have the messenger, where this doctor goes out and looks for the people, the sick people, to cure.
Find them.
Yeah. And there's a big difference between the two.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. Let's take a break now, and we'll be back for further discussions on this chapter. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back from IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on chapter 19, chapter Mary. On verse 52, God subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "We called him from the right side of the mount, and we drew him near for confidential discourse." 2 points we need to talk about here. What is this mount that he's talking about, and does it resemble anything? And what is it all about, this confidential discourse that God appears to be insisting on?
So there are specific places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers holy. And we talked about it before in Surah At-Tin, the fig. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by these holy lands and holy places and holy mountains. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating and giving us information of how, a little bit of detail of how he talked to Moses, right? And pretty much Moses, his wife was in labor, and he was looking for fire, and it was that winter, and then he saw like a fire from far away, and then he went to that fire in hope of, you know, bringing fire back to his family. Instead, he came back a prophet, right, or a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, here, this is also a characteristic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Moses with. He is the one that he talked to in the Mount of Tur. Where is the Mount of Tur, actually? The Mount of Tur is actually now considered inside of Egypt. And it's in the Sina district, or you could say province. And it was between two villages at the time. Moses was moving from one village to another village. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating that we talk to him in near, or you could say, confidential discourse. So it's like something between a loved and a loved one. And of course, Moses reached to this point where Allah creates sound, of course, because we believe that Allah talks. But how does he talk? He doesn't talk with a tongue. He talks by creating these sound waves, you could say, or whatever they are. And there's a long discussion between him and Allah. One of the discussions, as long as we are talking about this, available in the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam. Of course, it's available in Tafsir al-Qummi. And there's a Tafsir al-Qummi, one of the oldest tafsir book or interpretation books of the Holy Quran by Shia Hadith. And there's a big debate between whether Ali ibn Ibrahim, who is, of course, his grave is actually in Passage al-Ghadir, if you've ever been there. Yeah, that place.
Yeah, it's in front of it.
Yeah, and whether it's his or this other guy was actually, kind of a mysterious guy. We don't know exactly who he is or whatnot. There's a big debate about it, and of course that's up to the scholars to, you know, them understand. But this saying is available in many different books. The oldest one that I found personally was Tafsir al-Qummi. And it states that one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to Moses and in this discourse is actually what he wants from his servants. Prayers, fasting, paying alms, all these at the time of Moses, you know, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the things is actually to know who his awliya are, or his close, or those people or humans that are close to him. Here Moses asks, who Who are your awliya? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, from the descendants of Adam, my most beloved prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if people do not know him, to understand him, to know him, to believe in him, even at that time, right? We have a lot of sayings that support this claim. Knowing him at that time was an obligation for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not accept their prayers, would not accept their worships without knowing the Prophet and believing in him and submitting to his reality and his nur and his light. And of course, one of the knowing the Prophet is actually loving his progeny, loving his family, loving Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So here, even at that time, this of course is also very nice on the occasion of Eid al-Mubahala, right?
Two days ago.
So here we see one of the great characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating in the Quran, tied with the Prophet Muhammad
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Was of course always known as the Prophet of the end of time in all religions. Yes. So and he would be known to the followers of that religion.
We have the saying about Fatima al-Zahra salam, wa ala ma'rifatiha darat al-qurun al-ula, which pretty much translates into the old generations, all of them were like obliged and dutied to understand who she was or to know what she was.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to have to cut you there, unfortunately. We're going to go for a break, but after the break, we're going to be talking about Aaron, inshallah, being a blessing. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
We're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are going through chapter 19 of the Quran, chapter Mary, and we are on verse 53. It reads, "And we gave him out of our mercy his brother Aaron, a prophet." So Aaron is not a messenger, first point. It says explicitly that he's a prophet. That means other people have to come to him for religious knowledge. But can you explain how Aaron is a prophet, how Aaron is a mercy to Moses?
We have the same example with the Prophet and Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. I've actually heard the other day on TV, I was, you know, just flipping channels and surfing to the TV, and then all of a sudden I see this, you know, station. But they were stating that this claim. They're stating that if the Prophet needed Ali, like how the Shias claim, then that means that's something bad from the Prophet, because he needed other people. He needed the help of others. And unfortunately, the person giving the interview was like, yes, that's very true, that's right, and that's a very strong burhan or evidence that the Shia are, you know, and then they continue. Such claims are very weak. They are certainly like the spider webs. They look, you know, freaky and scary and whatnot, but if you just blow on them, fall apart. First of all, the Prophet had an army. So if you're stating that the Prophet fought his wars by himself, that's a lie of history. If you're stating that the Prophet needed his army, then you are contradicting yourself. And moreover, look at this blessing that Moses has. Moses was blessed with his brother being his aid, his support. He was his backbone. It was a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This goes all the way back to this factor. We talked about it in Surah Al-Dhuha, that the message, prophecy, being a messenger, spreading the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, at the end of the day, this is a high level, this is a high status, this is a responsibility, a huge responsibility, a heavy responsibility. It's like the mountains on your shoulder. Thus, you need help. And what other person to help you than your flesh and bones? Your brother. Someone that you dearly love. There's a big difference between someone that you hate helping you and someone that you love helping you. That's one thing. The other thing, that it's your own brother. And not only that, Aaron was known for his
eloquence.
Yes, there you go. He was very helpful. Okay. Someone that he could depend on.
Thank you very much. Unfortunately, it's a very nice discussion. I wish we could continue it more, but that's all the time that we have. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program was Quran Quest. If you missed this program, don't worry. You can always download an archive of this episode and previous ones from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio, Quran Quest. Until next week, same time, same place. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Inna IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A very warm welcome to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And my dear guests, as always, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah. Brother Hussein, salam alaikum and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam, glad to be here.
Sayyid Abdullah, salam alaikum, welcome to the program again.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Welcome. Let's start with another movie with the topic of cloning. Of course, not the whole movie deals with the idea of cloning, but it all started and ended with it, right? Mm-hmm. And you see a lot of other developments. I'm talking about the movie Gemini Man. It was a 2019 American action thriller, all right? And with one of my favorite actors, Will Smith. There are other stars in the movie, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Clive Owen, and Benedict Wong. This movie is directed by Ang Lee, by the way. Well, an assassin, who happens to be Will Smith in the movie, finds himself being chased by somebody with the ability to predict his moves. Very interestingly. And then he soon discovers that the person is his own clone. So he sets out to learn about his origin and, you know, the rest of the story and the movie. Well, first of all, let me start with you, Sayyid Abdullah. What do you make of this movie? How do you like it?
A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You can look at this movie in different ways. As far as action goes, It did okay. You know, it's okay for a typical Will Smith action movie. As far as visual effects, it was all right.
But in comparison with Bad Boys, it was nothing.
Yeah, obviously. Like I said, that's a typical. Typical movie, not a good movie.
Yeah.
I mean, me and you probably. I think we grew up with Will Smith.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite characters as well. So I enjoy kind of his movies. But this one was a bit. This whole movie is about what they called a human face project. I don't know if you've heard about this.
Yes.
So they come up with a new technology now, where they scan previous videos of you as a young person, and they could recreate a younger version of you walking and talking. So this is it's still like a new technology that Hollywood is playing with.
Yes.
This is the first movie to use that human face project, right?
Nice.
Which they said, well, and if you read about it, like they had like over 20 of the most top Hollywood actors to place this role, and they chose Will Smith maybe because he has a very straightforward features. So he was chosen. So I think they said okay, we had that technology, we could recreate a smaller version of an actor, right? Who should we choose? So they chose Will Smith.
Yes.
And how should we incorporate that movie to make Will Smith play himself against himself? Mm-hmm. Like that's what it says in the cover. Will Smith versus Will Smith.
Yes.
They said, well, okay, how about we give it that cloning aspect? We'd say clones. Mm-hmm. So that's why you see the beginning, so, you know, there's reference to cloning, at the end there's reference to cloning. But the reality is they never speak about cloning or how cloning was done, what was the process of the creation of the cloning. None of that was talked about.
Exactly.
But as we will talk later on, there were other moral aspects they were touching upon.
Yes.
Rather than, they did not focus on the actual, you know, making of the clone itself.
Yes, true.
So,
true.
Overall, according to, to Rotten Tomato, I think they gave it about 4 out of 10 or 3 points,
yes,
something out of 10.
I'm going to talk about it then.
Yeah, I think it's okay as,
yes,
an action movie.
All right. Brother Hussein, did you like the movie?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, I thought it was a pretty good movie. It was action-packed with intense fight scenes, explosions, and strong acting. It was definitely an iconic Will Smith movie. He starred himself in two roles. So, but, you know, on the other hand, they didn't really mention how the clone was, how the clone was made. There was no scientific evidence to it, and the whole like efficiency of the clone,
mm-hmm,
it really begs the question of how accurate they made him.
Yes.
He can jump and roll really fast, and like, you know, how did they give him such super strength, and you know, what type of modifications did they make to him?
I see. Okay, let's take a break and we'll be back and continue our discussion on the movie Gemini Man.
He's your clone. They thought I'd made a mistake, that I'd given him samples of the same person, but I didn't. He is you.
How's it even possible?
It's complicated, but it's doable. All you'd really need is a surrogate mother and a DNA sample.
They could clone a person. You'd think they'd clone more doctors or scientists, not me. They could have cloned Nelson Mandela.
Nelson Mandela couldn't kill a man on a moving train from 2 kilometers away.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting, and our dear guests, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah. Well, apart from the critical response that you both talked about to some degree, like Rotten Tomatoes, for example, gave the approval rating of 26%. An average rating of 4.7 out of 10. We also have, Metacritic average score of 38 out of 100, based on 49, of course, critics. We also have other indices or statistics, such as C+, for example, from IndieWire, if I'm not mistaken. So basically, in comparison with the other movies about cloning or anything related to that, it was not a bad movie. Don't you think so, Sayyid Abdullah?
In terms of cloning, you mean?
In terms of
ratings.
Like, rating and movie and
look, it for sure. I mean, it's altogether, it's a different criteria. It's a different genre altogether compared to the rest.
Yes.
The other ones, even the Sixth Day, it's got Schwarzenegger in it, so it was meant to be an action-packed movie, but it wasn't. It didn't have that much action.
Exactly.
God Sent wasn't an action movie. It was more like a thriller, horror,
yes,
kind of movie. Replicas, there's not much of an action movie. So the only one that had a bit of action was this one. So I think it's a different genre altogether. So
yes.
I think these, mm-hmm, ratings is based on the fact that it's an action movie. He's got Will Smith in it. He's an action hero kind of guy. He's not that guy that does, you know, these sad movies. Movie that he made with his son. Very sad movie.
Oh,
Pursuit,
yes,
of Happiness.
Happiness.
Pursuit of Happiness.
Pursuit of Happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's not that kind of character. He's just always an action,
yeah,
action guy.
Yeah.
So it's, like I said, it's a fairly, you know, typical action movie. There's not much to it. I think that the rating explains it. But I would separate it from the rest of the movies, the other cloning ones. With this one, they were trying to hit a different note. So they said, okay, he's a clone, get over it. You've seen too many movies to pick your choice of which way we created him.
Yes.
Was he out of the box? Was he out of the CD? Out of the, you know, memory section? You choose.
Use your imagination.
Use your imagination. You've,
exactly,
seen too many movies. Huh. We're not going to go there. But they were talking about something else in this movie. They were trying to say selective skills, right? Mm. So they wanted to see what would happen if I can, or scientists, could manipulate the genes, mm-hmm. because that's one of the keywords they said. He said he's trying to play God.
Yes.
If you can manipulate the human genes and the DNA to extract all the deformities and only leave the skills.
Yes, only the positive
points. And you can create soldiers of the same. So you can have a natural born baby with these genes, mind you. Like
yes.
Not a, it doesn't have to be a clone. So you could have a baby with all the deformities taken out.
Yes.
And only the skills that they require, for example, sniping and killing and whatever, left in it. I think this is the note that we're trying to hit at.
Right. Let's take a break and we'll be back talking about this movie, Gemini Man, on this program, Viewpoint, on IRIB English Radio.
Look at us! 25 years ago, your father took my blood and he cloned me. He made you from me. Our DNA is identical.
He's telling you the truth.
Shut up. He chose me because there's never been anybody like me, and he knew one day I was going to get old and then you'd step in. He's been lying to you the whole time. He told you you were an orphan. And of all the people in the world to come after me, why would he send you? Because I'm the best.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. This is the movie critique program, and I'm the host, Mohammad Javad. My dear guest speakers, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Hussein. We were talking about the movie Gemini Man in 2019, American action thriller with Will Smith in it. Well, Brother Hussein, apart from some of the negative critics that Gemini Man received, but it won, as you can see, a couple of like awards, or it was nominated again at several others, associations or festivals.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In comparison with the other movies, did you like this movie better? As Sayyid Abdullah was saying, that in comparison with the other movies, this is really a kind of action movie.
Yeah, definitely. Of course, I found this movie to be much better than the other ones. But in terms of cloning, of course not. It had really no, you know, it didn't show us anything about cloning.
But it gave us something else, like another option.
Yeah.
Or another, let's say, default, mm-hmm. like as Sayyid Abdullah was referring to, like, they can take away, for example, all the negative parts from the DNA
really
of a person, and then only leave the or retain only the strong points in.
Yeah, but they didn't really explain how they were supposed to do that, and they didn't show us any processes. Usually, I like to see what they're referring to.
They take it for granted. All right,
mm-hmm.
They assume that this method has been like done and over with, and mm-hmm. here it is, we are left with the product. The product is this guy or the other guy, which is his clone.
Go figure.
Yes.
So, yeah, I enjoy seeing the stuff happen, actually. I enjoy seeing what is behind the scenes, what happened, so that we can get this result.
I see. You know, one of the criticism was somebody said that the whole thing is alarmingly unconvincing.
Is it?
Like, the whole plot, he was talking about, like, these kinds of, like, the kind of story behind this. As you also mentioned that, like, they didn't talk about it or define or show method.
Yeah.
That how does this happen? Or the other, for example, criticism was the unrealistic level of genetic determinism and its failure to explicitly distinguish between cloning and cloning combined with genetic engineering. The film relies on the conceit of that human cloning is like always menacing, always threatening, ignoring the fact that there could be some other like identical twins, for example, that you can see or dealt with in the other movies, for example, with not so many like threatening face in it. All right, that's all about we can talk about in this episode because of the shortage of time. Thank you very much for listening to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and my dear guest, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
last year, a powerful explosion in Beirut turned life around for thousands of Lebanese. Now, a number of people have decided to build a monument in honor of the victims of the terrible accident. 27 individuals and organizations have pooled their efforts to build a giant 25-meter sculpture at a site of last August's explosion. The artwork is called Gesture and is made out of reclaimed metal debris. It looks like it's handing a flower to the city of Beirut. When completed, Gesture will also have a water and light installation. The project was conceived and designed by Nadim Karam, one of Lebanon's most celebrated artists. South Korean medical workers manning drive-through coronavirus testing centers have a new way to cool off and rest amid hot summer days, recovery buses. The medical workers are now able to enjoy their breaks at these buses, which are equipped with air conditioning, cold water, and snacks. The workers are allowed to take off their protective suits that trap heat and create an environment difficult to tolerate. Some of the buses also have shower booths and bunk beds to help the medical workers deal with their hard work. They say the buses are refreshing.
I almost feel like I'm stuck in a heat dome, like in a car with the air conditioner off in the middle of summer. It's so hot that it's even hard to breathe. But when I come here during the break time, and rest in a much cooler and more pleasant environment like an igloo, I can recharge and work cheerfully in the afternoon.
These buses were first designed and used as resting places for Korean police officers and firefighters. Now, 22 of them are deployed to testing centers across the country. The government is considering deploying more recovery buses amid rising temperature and a new wave of coronavirus infections.
An aquarium in the French capital, Paris, is celebrating the birth of a baby black-tip shark. The female shark is 55 centimeters long and weighs 560 grams. She's currently quarantined in a small pond so she wouldn't come under attack by adult sharks. Officials at the aquarium say she'll be ready to swim amongst other sharks in 3 to 4 months. She was born last week at the aquarium, an event the caretakers say is very rare.
It's a rare event for us, which hadn't happened here for the past 5 years. The birth is quite rare in aquariums and in captivity in general. In fact, there are often embryos that won't survive, or they're sometimes stillborn. That's what makes it a rare event, which also occurs at night. We had the chance to observe it during the day, which allowed us to intervene very quickly and were able to recover the little one.
The International Union for the Conservation of Nature has designated black-tip sharks as a vulnerable species. It's particularly poached in some countries for their distinctive fins. The marvelous creatures have a torpedo-shaped body and often spin out of water while eating. They have specialized cells in their snouts that detect the electric current of nearby prey.
A Turkish farmer hails the miraculous survival of two baby goats from deadly wildfires. Sergeant Bayat said seeing his livestock threatened by flames was the most difficult moment in his life. Bayat said although he lost eight of his animals in the fire, he found new life after the survival of a newborn goat. He said the mother of the kid had been killed in a wildfire. Bayat called it a miracle. But there was also another baby goat.
We found another goat amidst the wildfire. She has a baby. There you go. Miracle number two.
Bayat says although his farm was severely damaged, he's now over the moon at the survival of the baby goats. The massive forest fire in southern Turkey broke out on Wednesday, fueled by strong winds. Wildfires are common in southern Turkey in the summer, but local authorities say the latest fires have covered a much bigger area.
Cats are notoriously volatile animals, as we all know. One moment they are purring for your attention, and the next they can't stand being touched. Now, a Canadian firm has come up with an app that can help you better understand your feline friends. The app is called Tabli and works with artificial intelligence. The AI's algorithm was trained at a clinic in the city of Calgary. The developers of Tabli hope their product can be useful for novice cat owners and vets alike. The app can also help monitor the health of cats. Tabli's developer explains how the app functions.
It uses artificial intelligence, so specifically machine learning, and it's coupled with the feline grimace scale. And what the feline grimace scale is, it's a way for humans to be able to determine if a cat is in pain or not, based on the ear positioning, the eye positioning, the muzzle, whiskers, things like that. And so we were able to train a machine using machine learning and a series of images to be able to make that determination. So if you're somebody who has a cat but you don't have that training, you can just use the app and it can help you determine this how your cat is doing.
Sounds very useful. The Tabli is not perfect though and runs into problems when trying to decipher the mood of black cats. Despite the hiccups, the developers say the program will get better at doing its task as its artificial intelligence develops through practice. Humans have damaged the environment, perhaps more than any other species, but there are always some who go out of their way to help animals in distress. Known in Cyprus as Birdman, 28-year-old Konstantinos Antonio is a wildlife veterinarian. Every year, he saves hundreds of sick or wounded wild birds. The animals brought to him are usually found by regular people. Konstantinos says climate change has made the task of assisting birds more urgent as their survival becomes harder and harder. The Cypriot environmentalist usually frees the animals after treatment in the presence of other people in order to raise awareness about the issue. A vertical forest has transformed the Chinese megacity of Chengdu into a concrete jungle, making the lives of the residents greener. Each unit at the 8-tower complex has a balcony with around 20 types of luxuriant plants and greenery. The green space filters air and noise pollution while creating a spectacular view. The project in the southwestern city was completed in 2018, and all of the 826 apartments were sold out at the time.
I think it's quite good. The air quality is pretty good and much better than my old houses. The air is good when you wake up in the morning, and the green trees are good for us elderly people. They are good for our eyes.
Besides all the benefits, the apartments have a major problem. They have been overrun by plants and invaded by mosquitoes. The issue has forced some of the occupants to move out. Other cities around the world, such as New York and Copenhagen, have also launched similar green housing projects.
The light
is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The best visited multimedia exhibit in the world known as Van Gogh Live. The experience has opened in Munich after being postponed a number of times due to COVID-19.
Van Gogh is just the most famous artist in the world. He is also a prototype artist. He is the last artist who then tragically dies at the end. His life story was just fascinating, and that's why he is Van Gogh. And of course, his artworks are fascinating.
Featuring some of Van Gogh's best-known works, the exhibition is not only a feast for the eyes, but the senses, with music and smells to accompany the colorful projections. The exhibit is supposed to smell like the countryside because of where Van Gogh lived. However, the organizers say visitors cannot really experience the feeling due to wearing masks. Van Gogh Alive, the experience, was first presented in Singapore in 2011. Since then, the multimedia exhibit has been seen in 70 cities and has attracted some 6 million visitors. Conservation measures have managed to bring the world's most endangered cat back from the brink of extinction. In 2002, there were less than 100 Iberian lynx left in the wild. The situation prompted officials in Spain and Portugal to save the animal through a captive breeding program. They also tried hard to fight poaching and reintroduce rabbits, the cat's major prey, into the wild. By the end of 2020, there were over 1,100 Iberian lynx living in the two countries, most of them in Spain's southern region of Andalusia.
The main cause of death for wildlife, certainly in the natural environment, is related to human activities, roadkill, poaching, unwanted encounters. So the less interaction they have with humans, the better.
Despite the successful measures, the International Union for Conservation of Nature still lists the animal as endangered. It's estimated that the species will be out of danger only when its population surpasses 3,000. Urban development, hunting, and roadkill are the major reasons of death for wild lynxes these days. Brazilians have come up with a creative idea to combat population, that is pollution and global warming, repopulating mangroves. The project is aimed at reforesting an area equal to 75 football fields in Guanabara Bay. Organizers hope to make the biggest mangrove garden in a country. Mangroves, which usually grow in tropical regions, are essential to maintaining water quality and clarity. They filter and trap sediments, heavy metals, and other pollutants. Mangrove forests are also able to store 3 to 4 times more carbon than other forests.
Nostalgia is in the air in Paris as the streets of the city are enlivened, that is, with old vehicles. The French capital has hosted an annual parade called Summer Crossing of Paris. It brought together over 700 vintage cars, motorbikes, buses, and tractors from all over Europe. The route started from a Vincennes castle east of Paris and ended in the southwest of the city. Drivers crossed the iconic monuments such as the Eiffel Tower and the Arc de Triomphe.
It is extraordinary because the automobile industry heritage and the Parisian architectural heritage, which is obviously absolutely fabulous, echo each other. We are driving through all of Paris's most beautiful squares.
The 14th version of the event drew hundreds of enthusiastic visitors from across France. People were asked to wear masks and keep social distancing because of COVID-19. Tehran municipality has inaugurated an art garden that puts on display Iran's art and culture. As Youssef Jalali reports, the cultural facility aims to reconnect visitors with Iran's rich past amid increasing preoccupation with modern lives.
Sit back and enjoy the beauty of Iran's ancient culture. In Kushk Art Garden, located in the heart of Tehran, visitors get to learn about Iran's music, literature, painting, and calligraphy, far from the hustle and bustle of modern life. Kushk hosts Iranian artists who create masterpieces that have their roots in thousands of years ago.
Miniature painting has been around in Iran since thousands of years ago. In miniature, we paint flat images with a myriad of details. We avoid adding shades to make it as flat as possible, since in the past, Iranians believed that divine light gives shape to everything.
Metal engraving first stepped into existence 7,000 years ago in Iran. It is the art of incising decorations and metals. In this workshop, I will be available every day for visitors to see how I can turn metals into beautiful handicraft.
Kushk is part of a bigger project dubbed Art Garden. The cultural complex consists of an art lake, poem and literature house, music house, and Kushk Garden, each trying to promote an aspect of Iran's culture. Tehran municipality says it inaugurated the peaceful place, for it says cultural identity has been overshadowed by modern technology.
This precious place was a much-needed initiative to preserve the Iranian art and culture. As time goes by, technology gets more and more intertwined with our daily lives, and our genuine culture slips into oblivion. We need to have such cultural centers that safeguard our cultural heritage.
The Art Garden is situated on Abbasabad Hills in downtown Tehran. In recent years, the area has turned into a tourist attraction that houses structures that combine modern technology with ancient culture, such as this large pedestrian overpass called Tabiat Bridge and the Middle East's largest planetarium, dubbed Mina Dome.
Kushk will be the last piece of Tehran's art garden and will be a hotspot for a range of cultural activities, all aiming to revive the ancient Iranian art and culture, which experts believe have become a lost piece in today's hectic life. Youssef Jalali, Tehran.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz Agha. Thank you for joining us here today. Today we're going to be examining a very important question with respect to the necessity of prophethood. This is something that we've been talking about in some of our sessions. That question is this: that some people object to revelation and the necessity of prophethood by saying that revelation itself teaches us that it's not proper for somebody to follow somebody who is similar to himself. You should only follow somebody who is better than you. If there's something or some being which is similar to you in form and in all of his characteristics, and he's similar to you from all respects, what is it's wrong for you to follow him. You should always follow somebody who's better than you. At the same time, we see that the person who's bringing revelation to us is a prophet who is a human being. He's a human being. He has a body like us. He looks like us. He walks like us. He talks like us. Right? He has a mind like us. He's not some creature that's better than us. So why should we follow this person who's bringing us this revelation? In other words, following revelation here implies that we would be denying one of the basic tenets that revelation itself speaks to us and tells us about. And this is therefore, in other words, it's contradictory to follow revelation. On one hand, revelation is telling us to always follow somebody who's better than us, not to follow somebody who's less than us or who are equal to us. At the same time, it's asking us to follow this prophet who is a human being like us and similar to us. This then is objection. This objection is, it's interesting to note that this objection is a very old and ancient objection. It existed from times immemorial, even existed at the times of the prophet. The pagan Arabs, they also mentioned this objection in many times to the prophet. It's been reflected in many of the verses of the Holy Quran. Let's look at some of these verses. It's beneficial here to look at some of these verses. In Surah Anbiya, verse 3, God Almighty says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَأَسَرُّ النَّجْوَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا هَلْ هَذَا إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. These people, who these unbelievers, they said, is this person not a human being like you? Why should you follow him? In another verse, in Surah Mu'minun, verse 33 to 34, God Almighty also mentions something similar. He says, quoting the disbelievers, he says, مَا هَذَا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ مَا هَذَا إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يَأْكُلُ مِمَّا تَأْكُلُونَ مِنْ وَيَشْرُبُ مِمَّا تَشْرُبُونَ وَلَئِنْ أَتَأْتُمْ بَشَرًا مِثْلَكُمْ إِنَّكُمْ إِذًا لَخَاسِرُونَ. He says that the disbelievers said, if you follow a human being who is like yourself, then you are surely at loss. This then is the objection. This objection can be answered in a very simple manner, and that is this: that it's true that apparently this person who brings revelation, this prophet, is a human being, and he's similar to us from this point of view. However, this is a human being which is spiritually advanced, and he has progressed from this point of view, and therefore, from this point of view, he's not equal to us. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were examining the necessity of prophethood and revelation. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked as
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by famous Iranian Shiite orator and lecturer Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
بعد از 5 سالگی وقتی امام عسکری به شهادت رسید امامت امام زمان شروع شد.
When Imam al-Mahdi was 5 years old, his father Imam Hassan al-Askari was martyred. At this age the imamate of Imam al-Mahdi got started. Now among the imams of the Shias, this was Imam al-Mahdi who was the youngest imam. Of course, Imam al-Jawad and Imam al-Hadi were young too, but Imam al-Mahdi was the youngest one. This was the year 260 AH and continued for 69 years later till the year 329 AH, which was called Qibat al-Sughra or the minor occultation of Imam al-Mahdi al-Jalalah. During his minor occultation, Imam al-Mahdi was in connection with the people through his four special deputies. After the year 329 AH till now, is called the major occultation of Imam al-Mahdi. According to the Shia beliefs, he is alive by the grace of Allah and he lives among us. As Imam as-Sadiq alayhi salam stated, he walks on your carpets, he comes and goes in your markets. Every year he goes to Hajj pilgrimage. He will greet you. You might see him, but you don't know him. This is how Imam al-Mahdi lives among us. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Fi amanallah.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue, and I'm your host, Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the early history of the Muslims, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. Please stay tuned. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir was the direct descendant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and he was the fifth divinely appointed imam among the household of the Holy Prophet. He was the son of the fourth divinely appointed imam, Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn, alayhi salam. Now all historians and